Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back in. As I just said to Clint Tyler, the Brooklyn Nets, they have 5 first-round picks tonight. Could you imagine if there was an NFL team that had 5 first-round picks? That would be...
I mean, we'd have to do 2-6 on it.
Oh, my God. Now, that would be crazy as hell. 5 first-round picks. I wonder if they select 5. I wonder with everything they have, do they find one all-star player?
Who has the picks?
The Nets. I need to count where these picks are. I'm certain they weren't good. So I'm certain at least one of them are
yeah, the Brooklyn Nuts.
Yeah, they were the Nuts this year. One of them are high. So they got the 8th overall pick, and they have, well, it's coming down. Okay. Where are these 5?
I'm sure they vomited in the stands.
They have the 19th. They got the 22nd. Oh, they're all late. 26th, 27th. they got these late joints, man. So they don't have any in the top 5, one in the top 10, and all in the late 20s. So we'll see what they do. Are they able to just find one all-star level player? All them damn picks. But you're right. They got to be trading some of these away to. I mean, you got to use some of these picks to try to get a player. Somebody worth a damn. 5 first round.
You think so? You can get real aggressive with 5 first round picks to move up a few spots.
I'm telling you, boy. They probably should do that. At least move up some to do that. All right. As we continue here, going here on the drive. All right, Clint. When we look at this Texans team, and I think a thing that a lot of people really have excitement about and why some are really high on the Texans is because, you know, unlike some other teams that are playoff contenders, like let's say Pittsburgh, for example, right? I think a big difference between the Texans and the Steelers is the Texans have a lot of guys that you still feel like are taking steps, are still going to take steps forward. We watched it last year, right?
So like Rockets and Astros.
Yes, like we watched last year. Stingley was good, but then he took a step to being arguably the best corner in the sport, right? First team, yeah. All pro. We saw even Nico take more steps. We've seen countless players take steps for this team. Will Anderson took another step last year. Hell, even on the lower end, Henry Towatoa took another step. Like, they just got a bunch of guys that you look at that, yeah, their best ball is clearly ahead of them. And I think that's a thing why a lot of people love the Texans, not only this year, but for the future, is they've got a lot of guys whose best game is ahead of them. I would pose this to you and the people. Is there anybody that you have concerns that could take steps back? Right? I think we understand and see these, that they've got a lot of guys that you feel like they're, including their big guys. CJ, their best ball is ahead of them. Anybody you look here that fits the bill the other way that you would keep your eye on potentially of taking a step back?
Yeah, for me, I think I would. I've thought about this a lot since we talked about it yesterday. I think for me, I'm trying to get somebody that it's potential realistic, like not somebody that's a depth player. I'm concerned about Jalen Petrie.
Okay. All right. He's not on my list. I got a couple, but Jalen Petrie, I think that's a fair one.
Well, I think when you look at this secondary has a chance to be one of the best in the game. And I think that when you look at how offenses are going to attack this secondary, it's not going to be Derek Stingley. And I believe through the air, now we'll see if they have time and that pass rush can get there and now they can hold that pass rush off or not. But I think the one unknown at this point in time is, can Jalen Petrie cover? Like, can Jalen, and I'm not holding Davante Adams in the slot with no deep help against the Jets. I'm not holding that against
him. No, that's not his fault.
That ain't on him. I'm talking about, can he cover down well enough? Can he stay healthy through a whole season? Can he cover down well enough to not be the one that's targeted early and often and taken advantage of in coverage situations? I know he's got crazy instincts to stop the run and rush the passer. I know that. The one concern, which has been a concern of mine the whole time, it's why I like the Jalen Smith kid out of USC, because he could potentially be a cover nickel defender, or Kamari Lassiter can move in and be a cover nickel defender in place of Petrie when need be. Petrie, nickel defender, cut from a coverage aspect, to me is one that could potentially be exposed and be a problem. So I don't know if that's a step back as much as it is. I just don't know.
Can teams get him in that position?
Yeah.
Because it seemed like, because that Petrie's a good one, because he's had year one, maybe he had some issues missing tackles, but year one, pretty good. Year two, step back. There are a couple of times we saw him sitting on the sideline.
Late in the season, playoff situations, game, yeah.
Next to Matt Burke and D'Amico. Then last year, it seemed like they found a way to be able to put him in the right spots, except for a couple of times he got caught. I think the Lions caught him a couple of times in that game in big moments against St. Brown. And then obviously the one that it's really kind of messed up, because it feels like his, in terms of coverage, his season just seemed to come down to that one play on Thursday Night Football against Davante Adams, right? Like not other plays. Like, he wasn't getting exposed like that game in and game out when he was playing. I think Petrie is a pretty good one. There's someone, our guy Magic. This is one of, I've got four on my list. Magic here on YouTube and Twitch, just text it in, and that's Kamari Lassiter. I think Kamari Lassiter, it's an odd one, because he would be one that you would think, oh man, there's another step forward to his game. That was year one. He played that way. What's it going to look like after that? And he is one that I think is just at least worth the discussion. I'm not sitting here saying that any of the people that we're going to talk about are going to, but I do think, all right, how will teams attack Kamari Lassiter this year? Right, like what will be the second route? Because yes, we know he kind of played better with the speed thing last year, and that didn't become an issue. But I do wonder now, 17, 18, 19 games of tape on him, if there's a different adjustment of how people, you know, attack him, and will it be a step back?
Well, I that's a great point, because 1 year is a small sample size, and you know, we saw a C.J. Stroud step back relative to that first year. But did he really take a step back? Or was it because the first year was so great? That's what Kamari Lassiter's up against, right? The first year was so damn good, it's going to be hard for him to duplicate that. Now, I will say this. Speaking of kind of tying him to C.J. Stroud and what went on there, I do think that there's I think there was a conscious effort to not have Kamari Lassiter in press situations when he against guys that he didn't have no business covering. He would bail and play soft. I think he benefited, which all great DBs do, and units like this. I think you benefit from that pass rush that you have up front. And so I say all that to say there has to be – it's human nature, man, if you're D'Amico Ryans to go, hey, man, I'm going to do something a little different.
Yeah, the CJ comp is a good one because year two, maybe they felt a little bit more comfortable with CJ and thought he
all of a sudden, I'm going to do this, this, and that.
Handle more, yeah.
And so with Kamari, it's like, do you keep on keeping on and protect him and say, hey, we're gonna just keep letting this youngster play to his strengths, or do you go out there and push the envelope and find out what his weaknesses are? Like, do you put him in situations different than last year?
But the thing
and
is,
he struggles.
But the thing is, you feel like he can, and I think he developed it with CJ too. But you feel like he can handle more, right? Like when they started to move him around and move him inside, you feel like. If he wants to get out there and say, well, let's do more with him, it feels like he can handle that. I just he's just one of all the young players to me that potentially, I agree with you, Magic, could be at least in that conversation.
No, I think that's a great one. In fact, that's the best one. I mean, that's the best one that you can think of because it was, again, a big factor here is that the first year was so good, it's going to be hard to match. You know, that is just reality. And so the expectations are unfairly high. And so how do you define a step back? I just hope that D'Amico just keeps doing what he was doing with him already and puts him in position to come up and be a thumper, which we know he will do, instead of, you know, all of a sudden get real stingly aggressive with him and ask him to do some things that may put him on an island. We'll see. Well, I mean, maybe he does those things and he answers the bell and he's better. He's significantly better than any of us thought. That would be best case scenario. But I like the Kamari Lassiter pick right there.
Couple more I have here. Two veterans, Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon last year was a Pro Bowler, over 1,000 yards, even with some of his injuries. Is he somebody that you potentially look at as taking a step back? We understand they went and got a Nick Chubb, you know, to kind of be there in the backfield too. But Joe Mixon, I think, could be worth, you know, a conversation in this with age and everything.
Well, yeah, the thing there with Joe Mixon is he had to do so much of it last year on his own, kind of off script, off schedule, if you will, bouncing something, cutting something back. And so you would like to think that at the very least, this new regime up front, the new offensive line coach all the way down, you would like to think that at the very least, they're going to be better in the run game. It's easier to run block than it is pass block. It's less reaction and more.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Or more, hey, this is who I got, and I'm going to go move mass kind of deal. Hopefully they at the very least got that in here. So I would think as much as Joe Mixon did last year on his own, that this year would be a little bit easier and he'll probably produce more. So, yes, it's potential, obviously, because he had a hell of a year. But, boy, if this offensive line isn't good enough for him to take a step forward and for life to be a little bit easier for Joe Mixon than it was last year, whoo, we got some problems.
Joe was one, and then Azeez Alshire was the other veteran that I look at. And, like, when he played, obviously his importance, and he was really good. Obviously, he's a year older, and we did see some chinks in the armor last year, especially late in that playoff game, coverage-wise, in the middle of the field. And he, just like with Mixon, they did go out and get a starting caliber player that potentially is behind him in E.J. Speed, mm-hmm. who has started for years. Azeez is one, Clint, that I look at and say, maybe he is one where his best ball potentially isn't ahead of him. Maybe he is one that maybe takes a step back in the middle for this team.
Yeah, look, I think Azeez, I would be okay with Azeez Alshire taking a step back. And let me explain. Like, I would be okay if there was somebody else on the field in obvious passing situations, in critical situations where the other team's being aggressive and trying to score. We saw Kansas City take advantage of him time and time again in the middle of the field. And really, if you watch him, it's just a matter of time before that happens. So if the Texans are in a position where they've got to play a shell defense, they got to play a middle open defense where they're allowing guys like Travis Kelce and good tight ends to roam the middle of the field freely, Azeez Alshire is going to be a sitting duck. So I would be okay if the step back was Azeez Alshire and it was actually in playing time. If there was somebody else that could fill that role that covered a little bit better. That one I wouldn't be too disappointed in.
And then the one what kind of kicked this thing off is, I just say this name just because, as you kind of said, it's been so good. And, you know, I feel like even more teams are going to treat him differently. Do you think we've seen maybe not just the best, but do you think potentially Nico Collins takes a step back? Because this is a guy, Clint, if he'd have stayed healthy the last 2 years, I mean, he got to 1,000 yards. He missed six-plus games last year, five, six-plus games last year. And then the year before, he had missed multiple games. He may have been a 1,500-yard receiver the last 2 years had he been healthy. Do you think – and when I say step back, that doesn't mean, Clint, all right, man, hey, he only got 1,100 yards. Sometimes your step back, your numbers may look different, but you could look and see – that a guy is still playing at a certain
level. Yeah, look, being the biggest Nico critic in town for his first 2 years of his career here, I have no problem being critical. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm convinced Nico Collins, his game is recession-proof. His game is, I mean, he's not dependent on the go route. He's not dependent on being in one position all the time. He's not dependent on getting the perfect matchup all the time. You know, he can hurt you in the quick game, the screen game, the deep game, the play action game, the middle of the field, this out route running, and he can hurt you with the instincts when it comes to the scramble play. I just think if health is the only thing that's going to hold back Nico Collins, if Nico Collins stays healthy for three quarters of the season, he's going to get 1,000-plus yards, and he's going to be one of the better overall wide receivers in the league. I don't think he's ever going to get the love that he deserves. I think that right now when we hear a conversation about Nico being one of the best wide receivers in the game, I'll be honest. Like, I'll sit back and go, wait a minute. But when you look at the all-around ability to just flat-out produce in multiple ways and impact the game in multiple ways, Nico's got to be in that conversation.
Did you get the feeling, and obviously he's had folks around him, but do you get the feeling that you've watched teams really make a concerted effort to take him away, like we see with these other guys, right? We've watched teams try like hell to take away Justin Jefferson or to take away, you know, Tyreek Hill or to do certain. Do you feel like he's getting that? He's got that kind of respect yet?
I think the Miami game last year is when we kind of started teams tilting, seeing teams tilt coverages his direction. But I don't think it's been an all-out full-court press like we've seen.
Because he still have had Tank guys out there, and there's still been. Yeah.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I don't know if it's again, guys that are like one-trick ponies are typically the ones that you see tilting coverage to work. Right, like they're tilting coverage of Jordan Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase every damn game, and those guys are still like
that's
that.
Yeah,
right.
Has he been seeing that?
I think he's getting some of it. Maybe not to the degree of those guys.
I feel like he might now.
But well, where I'm going with all of it is I think his game being so well rounded, it's hard to do that.
Yep.
Like you can tilt the coverage to Mike Evans and take some things away that makes his life difficult. You can tilt the coverage towards somebody that doesn't have ideal size and really impact them. You can, like, Nico is just, again, it to me, it's recession proof. He is an all around wide receiver that has the mindset and the ability from a mental perspective to line him up anywhere. You can move him any way you want to. And he has the ability to run routes and impact the game at all different levels of the field. That is a hard guy to pinpoint, a hard guy to take out of a game.
Yep. It's Wednesday, stock up, stock down, a little stock up, stock down, AFC South edition. We'll do that next.
Cocaine and hookers, my friend.
Every season brings highs.
I'm in my drop top, cruising the streets.
And lows.
No way, because I know one of you two assholes would have done the same thing that I just did.
Are you kidding me?
This trio always has eyes on the market in H-Town. It's time to buy or sell. It's stock up.
The arrow's pointed up.
Stock down.
They're selling, Mortimer.
On the Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Damn right. The number one afternoon drive sports talk program in the wonderful city of Houston. That'd be this one, The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. And every hump day, every Wednesday, right during this time, we do a little stock up, stock down. And today we're talking AFC South. The Houston Texans division, that AFC South division, where you normally find, the Jaguars in the basement, as I tell y'all. And, the Colts have won a Super Bowl here and there. But 2025 is different. AFC South, young Stroud going into year three. New OC, new playbook. We're on the show. What is your stock down first off for the AFC South right now, where we are in the offseason?
We're going down now.
I like to get the negatives out of the way.
Yeah, you do. My stock down is one that I know some people here listening are going to get mad or whatever, but
hold on, so
my stock down is Anthony Richardson. And I hate it. He is somebody, Clint, that I actually root for, and I want to see that talent to be shown. Like, for me, just I'm a fan in general, and I think there's an argument for just pure talent in terms of arm strength and what he could do with it. Now, I don't know if he could hit the three of us if we were standing 5 to 10 feet away from him consistently, but what he could do with his legs, the size and everything. Like, it may be the best in the league from that position, just complete, just raw talent.
Yep. Yep.
And I'd like to see that rolling through, but my man about to get beat out by Daniel Jones. I mean, hell, what the hell? Dan Jones coming in, right? He said the shoulder thing. He did say he'll be ready for training camp, but right now, as tough as it is for me, because I do root for him. I think he's a good kid. I like him. And I do want to see what that looks like. If that talent could be put together and found, probably something like what we're seeing the guy in Buffalo doing, but maybe even more so. To me, though, when you are the number four overall pick, and in year three, and Dan Jones is about to beat you out, stock is way down right now.
Well, the hype was real. I mean, Shane Steichen coming off of what he did with Jalen Hurts, and then you got a guy as talented as Anthony Richardson. Although he was young and inexperienced, you think, hey man, they can bring this kid along. And look, it just goes to show you, man. No matter how talented you are, when you stay injured and you tap out as a quarterback, it's hard to come back. It's hard to recover. It's hard to it's hard to get better. It's hard to develop, and unfortunately, I don't know that we're ever going to see Anthony Richardson excel at this level. I hope I'm wrong, because I'm with you, man. That is a combination of talent that is second to none. I mean, it is got the potential to be special. But
like, I was glad to see Josh Allen put it together and be like, damn, yeah, man, that's what you're seeing. I'm glad to see Lamar put it together, but I'm with you, man. If he loses here, if Daniel Jones beats him out, I don't know who's.
Well, you get on that Justin Fields path, and it's gonna take somebody getting injured, and you get another shot, and then you capturing lightning in a bottle kind of deal.
And if it ain't working with Shane Steichen, I don't know.
I agree. I agree. Although I will be honest. Now, I haven't studied them to that degree, but watching them against the Texans, I am highly surprised at the game plan and how he was being used. I could not believe we didn't watch a conservative run the ball downhill with Taylor and him and throw it when you have to kind of approach, throw it to take shots. I could not believe that within the first few snaps of the game, we're watching this guy in gun take snaps and throwing RPOs and trying to process a defense at a high level right out of the gate. Like that shocked me. So, maybe a different squad, a change of location would help him.
You are listening to Stock Up, Stock Down right here on The Drive with Sterner and Hughley, as we do every Wednesday afternoon right around this time. Do our best Jordan Belfort impression. Take a look at a market. We're doing AFC South, that division, the Texans division. You find them in, year out. That is today's edition. Ron, Stock Down, the young quarterback up in Indianapolis. Over to you, Clint. What is your stock down for the AFC South heading into 2025?
Boy, y'all going to hate me for this one. I get ready, that Texan line's going to light up. My stock down is the Texans offense.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
I thought mine was bad.
Yeah, no, mine's
bad. I thought mine rooting for Anthony Richardson was bad.
Look at it however you want to look at it, man. I mean, a year ago this time, we got a five-headed monster. We're coming off Rookie of the Year. We got an offensive coordinator that's the next big thing in the NFL. And here we sit now with a new offensive coordinator, new O-line coach, done shipped Laramie Tunsil's ass up out of here. It was so bad. The quarterback, although I believe that it's a little bit strong to say he backslid and had a rough year. I don't think it was as good as year one. I think he did the best he could with what he was given. But nonetheless, I think overall the Texans offense, if you just look nationally how they are viewed right now versus last year, I'm not going to say any names, but I remember going out to a Texans minicamp practice and looked at, man, you know, it is wild how different we're viewed right now than we were a year ago. So I ain't making anything up. This is real talk. I just think the Texans offense is stock down right now. Whether we're talking, you know, locally compared to last year, you're talking about nationally, just overall, I think it's Texans offense.
Well, that felt like a solid punch to the junk there on a Wednesday, but I love you keeping it real. Yes, all right, we got the stock downs out of the way. This is Stock Up, Stock Down, AFC South edition on The Drive on a Wednesday. Bouncing back over to you, Ron, the show. Let's get these positives. Stock up in the AFC South for 2025. I guess it could not be positive, though.
Tyler would personally hate this. My stock up is, you said the Texans offense. Mine is the Jags offense. I think the stock. Now I don't know what they're gonna do, but their offense is up. I know Liam Cohen is a very strange young man that doesn't quite have the Duval portion
of
that, but when it comes to the offensive mind part of things,
basement.
Wow. He's got that pretty good, and Brian Thomas Jr. is the truth, the real deal. And then you add Travis Hunter over there as well. I like some of the things they did with the off or with the in the backfield with the running game they've got there. And Trevor, to me, I agree. I think I heard
this is the year
Brandon Scott say this. Well, I'm not saying this is the year. Trevor's not trash.
But ain't a phenom.
And I think he's been put in. Wouldn't be the greatest situations he's been put in since he's been in the league. So I think this stock is going up with the Jags offense. I'm not saying this is going to lead to a title, division title.
No, and I wasn't trying to insinuate you were saying.
I think their offense is stock up from what the hell it was last year. I think their offense is going to be.
Starting point is critical here with my point and Ron's point, by the way.
Yeah, so that's my stock up is the Jags off.
All right, Dirty Red, Clint Sterner finished us off on a Wednesday for this AFC South stock up, stock down with your stock up for 2025.
Yeah, mine's Cam Ward in Tennessee. Yeah. Look, I was already high on him just from a skill set perspective. He's a Texas kid that has left several places in college where he went a better place.
The arrow's pointed up.
Literally three stops in college football where he left him a better place. I thought in my mind, like, hey, you know, hey, he's probably going to do that in Tennessee at some point in time. Well, he gets there. There's reports coming out of training, OTAs and minicamp. He completed 18 straight passes or something like that. And then he gets in with the media, and he is unbelievably, you know, comfortable to the point where he's cussing with the media, which I'm a fan of a good cusser. But it just seems like he is a great fit in a situation, and one of those quarterbacks where no moment's going to be too big, no personality in that locker room is going to be above him. The void that is leadership in Tennessee from the quarterback position seems like it's going to be filled. I think Cam Ward is going to jump on the scene sooner rather than later.
All right, there you go, Cam Ward. I know you enjoy what he brings to the table. Not surprised to hear his stock is up. And that is specifically Cam Ward, not the Titans. Specifically Cam Ward, the quarterback. Coming up, let's hear from our guy, Roflo, Robert Flores, MLB Network, MLB Central, every single morning. We'll get his thoughts on what's going on with the Astros. That's coming up next right here live on The Drive.
Astros ain't loyal.
Some people need to get those verbal hands every now and then. In fact, more often than not.
Down here in his home state of Texas, so at least you can do slip.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Shout out to Dave Grohl and company. I know maybe people say Kurt Cobain when they first hear that, but I'm more of a Dave Grohl guy. I am. Shout out to
so talented,
very, very talented. All right, it is that time, and we are so happy. Our guy, man, Robert Flores, he is a distant fifth member of this show. Roflo, you can catch him every single morning, MLB Central. And by the way, they're celebrating their 1,000th episode.
Come on.
Tomorrow. Boy, that sounds like a good stable job you got over there, Robert.
Wow, dude.
Hey. It's tough out in these streets now.
Ain't lying. So.
Yeah. You need me to come at 9 a.m., 9 p.m., 9:30 p.m.? I'll be there. Yeah, I'm here. I ain't got nothing to do.
You need me to be in Wisconsin? Yeah. You need me to be in New York? Wherever it is.
Dude, man. Once you start getting older, that's when they're like, you know what? We need to go with someone younger, a.k.a. cheaper.
Cheaper.
Astros ain't loyal.
There you go. Well, congratulations, man. 1,000 episodes.
Thanks, man.
I remember when that first kicked off, right? And it's still you and DeRosa and Lauren.
Yeah. It's I took, you know, the show itself has been around since 2015, but I joined the show in 2018. And it's been, I've been lucky enough to do a lot of really cool and neat things in my career. But this is the best show that I've ever been a part of. And, you know, I love the people. I love D-Ro and Lauren, but I also love the people behind the scenes and behind the camera in the control room. It's just a collaborative effort and everyone pulling in the same direction, which I love.
There you go, man. Congratulations, man. Well,
thanks.
Well, Roflo,
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to get... We had this conversation last year a little bit when the Astros started to get it rolling again, and I mean just absolutely erased a 10-game deficit as fast as I've ever seen. But now, man, they are obviously starting to kind of run away with the West right now, even though, you know, Kyle Raleigh is going crazy in Seattle, but they're running away with this thing. Are you as surprised as some others are with how it's happening? I'm sure people before the year, if you said the Astros are going to have a 5-game lead in late June, it wouldn't have been a shock. But it's the way that that's happened.
Yeah, no, I think you hit it on the head, show. It's how they're doing it. Yordan has played how many games? Is he even in double figures? I don't know. Christian Walker hasn't yet got going. He's in double figures in homers, but the OPS is still below 700. Jeremy Pena has turned himself into... he's turned himself into an all-star and, quite frankly, an MVP candidate. Now, people will be like, wait a minute, what? I mean, Jeremy Pena is – he's second in war in the American League, behind only Aaron Judge. So it is it's been a remarkable feat what they've done, and I think a lot of credit has to be given to Joe Espada, the coaching staff, and to Dana Brown and his staff. So it kind of makes you wonder what this team could look like once you get the reinforcements back. Yordan, Christian Javier, Lance McCullers, Spencer Arrighetti, Jacob Melton, guys like that. So it's been an interesting and certainly surprising start thus far.
Which part of everything that you just mentioned, Roflo, do you think is the more real one, right? I mean, when you talk about Jake Meyers hitting 300 plus, and he somehow, the last few games, Roflo, he's been in a 4-5 hole. I mean, he's been hitting second or something. I mean, like, that is something I never, you know, Cam hitting 270 as a rookie in right field and looking like he absolutely belongs. His athletic ability, I mean, on display on a nightly basis. Pinion that one, you know, leading it off. Like, which one of these... I'd call even Pena unexpected. Like, which one of these unexpected guys that are lighting it up so far this season do you think is the most real and, hey, this is the closest version of them that we're going to get?
Yeah, that's a great question because I really feel like it's a multi-layered answer. I think Cam Smith eventually has a chance to be an aircraft carrier, a guy that is a cornerstone, middle-of-the-order bat. He's not there yet, but I think he has a potential to be that. I think Jeremy Pena might be the one that has the most staying power. Now, look, is he going to be second in war? Is he going to be hitting above 300 for the rest of his career, for the rest of this season? I don't know. But, look, we've seen him thrive on the biggest of stages when he was a rookie. You know, LCS MVP, World Series MVPs in the same postseason. There's not a lot of dudes that can say that they've done that, much less as a young player. So I feel like Pena is the one that has the most staying power. But I'm glad you mentioned Jake Meyers. Look, his defense has always been elite, but he has cut down on the chase rate. He has cut down on the swing and miss. And he has really found himself offensively. And I know he's been the subject of a lot of scorn and speculation over the past couple of years because what he hasn't done offensively. So I'm really happy for him, what he's produced so far.
Robert Flores, MLB Network, MLB Central every morning on MLB Network is with us. And when we look at all of this, and we'll get to some of the trade deadline stuff coming up and what they may need to go after. But when you look at this and everything we're talking about, and this, it's a surprise with how it's happened, as you just kind of went over. What is Joe Espada? Like, in terms of what kind of manager and what level or tier do you put him in? Because he really has a Nick Sirianni kind of feel to me, to where I look at him and I wonder, like, I don't feel like he's one of the best managers at baseball, but when I look at what he's kind of done the last 2 years, being down early like they were, injuries, his production looks like he is one of those. Well, how would you describe what Joe Espada is?
Look, I think that if he's able to sustain this level with his team and guide them to the postseason, guide them to another division title. Look, when they were down, when they were doubled back 10 games in last year and ultimately came back to win the division, I think that said a lot to me about him as a manager. And also, of course, obviously the players within that locker room and clubhouse, but they obviously trust him. They obviously like playing for him and like to play hard for him. So could you say he's underrated? Maybe a little bit, because look what they've done. Look at the how many injured players on the injured list do they have just from the starting rotation alone? It's remarkable. And what you're getting or not getting from Yordan Alvarez because of injury, Arrighetti, Javier, who else am I missing? McCullers. So you're throwing out guys that are, these are not top prospects. The Astros, I keep being told over and over again that they're poor, that their farm system is weak. Yet more often than not, especially pitchers, they come up and they produce. And I think that speaks to Joe Espada, and more importantly, I think that speaks to the coaching staff and the whole the player development system.
Hey, speaking of pitching, and you may have mentioned him, Hunter Brown. I mean, just I think Fromber, yeah. We're getting what, you know, I don't think Fromber, the greatness that is we're watching right now in terms of how good he really is, and again, I don't think it surprises anybody.
No.
But Hunter Brown kind of coming into his own, he became my favorite Astro right now with that little back and forth with Neto, whatever the hell the guy's name was. And then Moore comes out of the dugout trying to get him a little bit too. And it looked like Hunter Brown had no problem going at him as well. Like that, it just seems like what Hunter Brown is doing has just been a matter of time before it happened. But just, you know, just your thoughts on Hunter Brown, the success, how good is he, and do you, how real do you think this is?
Well, look, as far as how real it is, I mean, there's a reason he got that new agent, right? So, I mean, he's feeling himself, and rightly so. I agree with you. Fromber Valdez is the Astros are fortunate in that I think that they have two co-aces at the top of the rotation.
Yep.
And that has been the hallmark of this franchise, not only during this recent run, this golden age of Astros baseball, but through its, since I was a kid watching in the 70s when you had Nolan Ryan and J.R. Richard or Nolan Ryan and Phil Niekro or Randy Johnson and whomever. So they're fortunate to have two aces at the top. But Hunter Brown, everything switched, it just turned for him. It may, you know, a little more than a year ago, he was lost in 2024, the early part. But once he started implementing that sinker, he got more confidence. And now you can tell, to your point, Glenn, is that he is he goes out there and he's feeling himself. He is a bully on the mound. He knows what he needs to do to be successful, and he's not going to take any bleep from Zach Neto, Christian Moore, Mike Trout, Aaron Judge, anyone. And that's what I love from a top-of-the-rotation guy.
Real quick before we get you out of here, Roflo, do you get the sense that Dana Brown is in the business of doing anything that would be considered a big move in the deadline?
That's a great question. I don't see how they can, you know, I don't know what they have, again, talking about that farm system. Yeah. I don't know if they have the pieces to go get that big, big player, so to speak. And not
think,
only
do you
that.
You think they need it?
Not necessarily, because I think that you can look at the post All-Star break as with the return of Yordan Alvarez, the return of Spencer Arrighetti, the return of Lance McCullers, of Christian Javier. Those are almost like de facto trades in of itself. I think we can feel pretty confident that if Yordan Alvarez is healthy and his hand is feeling good, he's going to mash. That's a big middle of the order bat that you basically haven't had all season going right back in. And as far as Javier and McCullers and Arrighetti, yeah, you don't know what they're going to look like once they return. but hopefully they're back to their former selves, because that would be a tremendous boost to get some of those names in your lineup and in your rotation.
Roflo, look, I know you're just being a nice guy, and I know that it's a tool in your toolbox to give you a second to think about your answer when you say that is a really good question. But my partner over here, he just lights up, man, like a glow stick when you do that. He thinks he's accomplished.
He is. I mean, so, man. You guys,
it was there's no need for that.
I mean, you guys have had some really good questions. I like where you're at right now.
Finally,
hey, Roflo, man, we appreciate it. It's always great to have you on, man, and we will definitely be tuned in to MLB Central and that 1,000th episode. Tomorrow at 9 a.m. MLB Network, y'all. It's 9 a.m. here in Houston tomorrow. So, Roflo, we appreciate you, man. And once again, congrats, brother.
Thank you very much, guys. Have a great weekend. And I'm getting some Houston weather here in the Northeast in New Jersey, except I'm paying New Jersey prices for this heat and humidity. So hey, makes me miss home.
Hey, put your set of gills on and get out there and jog or something. Get you a good jog, man. You'll be all right. Hey, we appreciate
y'all. Have a great
you,
week, guys.
You too, brother. Thank you, man.
I'm faded as hell right now.
Yeah, it sounds like it, man. Hey, Houston, the Rockets, baby. The Rockets have arrived in more ways than one. There's another Rocket that they're keeping around town that's going to be a critical piece to what happens moving forward. We'll talk about those details as well as y'all riding in these robo-taxis. We'll talk about that next right here on Sports Radio 610.